Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Finance Committee meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant here at Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, a couple of reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to make a comment, you may state your name if it's something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so. You do not have to state your name, but as a reminder to our board and staff, as always, please state your name before giving your comment or your question. And with that, I do want to say it again, but Happy New Year to everyone. And thanks so much for joining today. So we'll begin. The day is Thursday, January 13th, 2022, and the time is 5:36 p.m. With that, Dr. Dikdush, if you may please call the meeting to order.
Yes, I call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Dr. Dikdush. With that, I'll take roll call. Dr. Dikdush?
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank you to our committee members. We have quorum. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I move the motion.
I'll move. Second it, Mick.
Thank you, Dr. Dikdush. Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Dikdush?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our committee members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment. 6 minutes of translation is needed. If there's anyone in the public that would like to make a public comment, you may unmute yourself now. Perfect. If there's no public comments, we'll move forward next with the announcements from the CEO and superintendent and committee members. I'll turn it over to Mr. Rubalcaba.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good evening, Dr. Dikdush, Makan, Happy New Year. Good evening to all the Magnolia staff on here and our community. I don't have any updates at this moment. I will save my updates for our regular meeting at 6:30. With that, I will turn it over to Jennifer.
Thank you. Is there any announcements from our committee members before we proceed? Perfect. If no, we'll move forward next with the approval of minutes. If there's no objections, we'll approve all 4 minutes together. Is there any objections to that? Perfect. If not, then the motion is to approve the minutes from October 14th, November 4th, December 2nd, and December 16th, 2021. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I move, Mika.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Thank you, Dr. Dikdush, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Dikdush?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. The minutes for these 4 meetings have been approved. Next, we'll move on to the recommended action items, starting with 2A, Committee Approval of Findings to Conduct Virtual Meetings Pursuant to AB 361 Government Code Section 54953. This will be presented by Mr. Rubalcaba, our CEO and superintendent.
Thank you again. As all of you are aware, AB 361 affords us flexibilities to continue having our meetings virtually or through teleconferencing due to the ever-changing face of the pandemic. So we ask the board to continue in this format given what's happening currently with the pandemic. I'll turn it over to Jennifer to add any other context to this item.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. Good evening, everyone. Jennifer Lara, Executive Assistant and Board Secretary. This item, you're already aware, this is just to grant pretty much for the committee to continue following the flexibilities to have virtual meetings since we are still under a state of emergency for COVID-19. So that is it on my end. I'll open up the floor if there's any comments or questions from the members of the public. If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the Finance Committee to adopt the findings relating to the ability of the Magnolia Public Schools Finance Committee to conduct meetings due to teleconference during the state of emergency in reference to AB 361 Government Code Section 54953. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I move the motion.
Second it, Mika.
Thank you, Dr. Tikbush. Thank you, Mr. Mohammed, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Tikbush?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mohammed.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. Next, we'll move on to recommended action item 2B, approval of the 2020 through 21 annual audit report. This will be presented by Mr. Bhutraja, our Chief Financial Officer.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'll go ahead and go over our audit report, and I'm going to provide you with some of the highlights, because these reports tend to vary and range from 40 pages all the way up to a couple hundred pages, depending on the size of the organization and the complexity of the organization. Ours was 63 pages. And so I'm going to kind of give you just an overview, and I'll provide you with references on page numbers in case you need to go back and reference some information. So why don't we go ahead and start with page 4. And this is basically our total assets minus liabilities, and sort of what we have remaining. And so for this portion, our net assets went up from 2020 to 2021 from approximately $86 million to $91 million. Those include cash on hand, money that's receivable, property, capital outlay, equipment, things that MSA owns. And so our liabilities went from a total of $40 million down to $39 million. And so the end result was our total net assets actually ended up at $43 million in 2021 versus $30 million. So they actually went up. Much of that has to do with the fact that we do have property and real estate. It's gone up over the last few years. And so there's been a pretty sizable appreciation of the real estate that we own between the different school sites and locations. So that's obviously a positive for our overall organization. And so next I'm gonna go ahead and move on to page 8, if you would please. Page 8 of the report, I'm sorry.
The thing is, this includes the cover page.
Oh yeah,
my
eight. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, and so basically, what the auditors do is they basically want to capture. They want to encapsulate the organization in a snapshot in time, and give stakeholders an idea of kind of where the organization stands at a given time. So this represents a period from 2020 through June 30th of 2021. And so at that time, we've had 40% of our sites authorized by LA Unified, 40% authorized by the county office, LA County office. We've got MSA Santa Ana that is authorized under CDE, and we also work with Orange County Department Offices of Ed on some things there. And then we have MSA San Diego, which represents 10%. So between the 10 sites, it's split up 40-40, 10-10. And so the audit just basically captures that. We served approximately 3,609 students during the period of 2020 and 2021. And so the audit report reflects that. Now, if we could please move to page 14. And so there's a description here. You know, we've obviously last couple of years have been a challenge due to the pandemic and various types of organizations requiring different types of assistance. We received approximately $5.4 million in PPP loans, and it was actually $5,461,600. And so based on the audit, all of that money that we received was actually forgiven. So we didn't have to pay any of it back, which is obviously a very good thing. So we were a good steward of the dollars that were sent over to us to help us during the pandemic. And so that's reflected on page 14 of the report. I'm going to move on to another highlight on page 23. Okay. And so we know that personnel costs represent a significant portion of our expenditures. And part of having, you know, expenses for personnel includes their not just their salaries, but also their benefits. And so I'm going to give you just a brief breakdown of our STIRS and PERS rates so that you have a good sense of kind of what we paid out for our teachers and certificated staff versus classified staff. And so for the STIRS portion, the employer contribution, which is MSA's portion, was 16.15%, which was the statutory requirement. That's what we paid. The employee rate was 10.2%, which is what the individual employee paid for their retirement. And then in addition to that, there's a state rate, which is kicked in by California, and that's 10.33%. And so those were all the rates that were set in accordance with guidelines. And so we complied with that. And there are three portions, three different entities, the individual, the employer, and the state that cover STIRS contributions for teachers and for other certificated staff. And so the report just notes the fact that we complied with what the state had recommended. And it just kind of encapsulates that in the report there on page 23. Now, if you go over to the next page on 24, you'll see that there's also a PERS. This is for classified individuals, those who may not necessarily serve the students directly. And that rate, the employer portion was 20.7%. The employee rate was 7%. And there is no state rate for PERS employees because they're actually eligible for Social Security. So there isn't that third portion that you would normally see that you'd see under STIRS. So I wanted to just kind of point that out and let you know that can be referenced on page 24 and 25. Now, moving on to page 26. So this is just kind of a breakdown of what we received in federal funds. We got approximately 11.4% of our total revenues from federal monies. These are entitlement programs, Title I, Title II, Title III. And you'll also be able to see that on page 5 of the report. And so basically, to provide you a breakdown of how we got our revenue for that fiscal year, 11.4% came from federal sources, 79.2% came from state, which would be primarily LCFF, but then there's other state money like lottery, mandated cost reimbursements, things like that. So almost 8 out of every $10 we got was from the state. In addition, 8.5% of what we received came from PPP. And so that was obviously a bonus and extra source of income. And then the other local revenues represented less than 1%. And so those would be things like fundraising activities and, you know, miscellaneous money that we would collect. And we don't really, we do a portion of that, but it doesn't represent a significant portion of our budget. So it gives you just a general breakdown of kind of how we get our money and where it comes from. And so moving on to the next page, please, number 27. So this is just kind of an overview of the ADA by site, and it goes all the way from MSA1 down to the San Diego site. We served 3609 students for 2020-2021 fiscal year. And so this just kind of gives you an overview of how many students attended each site. And so you can reference that on page 27. And moving on to page 29, if you could please. This is a representation of the instructional minutes. Now the state requires that school districts, charter schools, make sure that students serve a certain amount of time in the classroom or learning. And so the amount of instructional minutes can vary depending on the grade level. For example, the lower grade levels like kindergarten have less instructional minute requirements than you would at the 10th, 11th, 12th grade level. And so, but what page 29 of the report shows is that we complied with all of the requirements for the instructional minutes. We offered 180 days per ed code per the state of California guidelines. And so we didn't have any deficiency in terms of making sure that our students were getting the number of minutes and the number of days of education. So that's encapsulated in page 29 of the report, as you see there. And then if you move on to page 33, please. And this is an important one. This is an important one because one of the things that's noted in audit reports is from the time that you close your books, which is the unaudited actuals. So typically, the year ends June 30th of each year. And then we have summer, which is July, August, September, to sort of do the year-end closing process. And this is where we reconcile our fund balances. We look at our accruals, our payables, our accounts receivables. We do all the cleanup work to make sure that we capture every dollar that we're supposed to collect, and we pay every dollar that we're supposed to pay, and that there's no big differences there. And so what page 33 shows you of the report is that there's no reconciliation of fund balance needed. If you could please go, if you could please go up.
A page up?
Yeah, it's page 33. It's almost blank, but you can go up to the top there. So what that shows is there were no adjustments from the unaudited actuals to the audited. So that's obviously a very good thing, because when we closed the books, we did a very good job of making sure all of the money that we are owed, we collected, and it was the right amount, and whatever we paid out was correct, and we did our accruals properly. And so the accounting was done properly. When you see adjustments needed, that's obviously an issue. And so we had none of that when the books were closed, and the auditors noted that in the report, and you can reference that on page 33. And so moving on to another important highlight in the audit report is, if you reference, and you're gonna have to go down a little bit to page 57. And so what this does, so what this does is this references the fact that the auditor issued an unmodified opinion. Sometimes they call it an unqualified opinion. But basically what that means is that the financials were presented fairly and accurately. There were no issues in terms of accounting. We presented things the way that they should have been presented. And so that's referenced there in the report on page 57. And it's according to governmental standards. So that's an important point, because we actually did what we were supposed to do, and it's been noted in our report. And so if we can go to the next page, please, 58. And so you see there it's unmodified, and we didn't have any issues in terms of federal awards. So we spent our entitlement monies properly, our Title I, Title II, Title III, all of those monies for students that need additional support and assistance, for English language learners, for teacher training. We use that money in the spirit of which we received it. And so there were no findings that reported that we spent it the wrong way. And the same goes for the state monies that we received. So that's referenced there on page 58. It's obviously a very good thing and shows that we're diligent about how we collect and we spend money and dedicate it towards students. And so if we could please move on to page 59. This is findings, and you can see there none reported. So we had no audit findings for last year, which is a very good thing, because typically in these reports, you can see sometimes 3, 4, sometimes 10, 12, 15 findings for different things that, hey, you're not doing this right, and you didn't pay properly for nutrition or transportation or for special education. We didn't have any of that. We had no findings, and that's a very good thing, because we were doing things properly and we were exercising good, strong internal controls. And so when you see no findings at the end of the report, that's a very positive sign. And so that can obviously be referenced here on page 62. And then if you go to page 63, which is the last page of the report, this is a note of prior year findings. And in the prior year, in 1920, there were a couple of things that they noted, which had to do with basically just some internal control things that we that were made, that were recommended to be cleaned up. And they said, you know, hey, next time when you make a deposit, make sure you do it within a certain number of days. Procedural policies that had been noted 2 years ago, those were implemented, and you can see that right there on the page. And so we were able to listen to what the auditors told us, you know, follow through with their guidance and not repeat any mistakes from the past. And so those prior year findings were implemented. And so those things are always noted at the end of the report. And, you know, I'm happy to say that we didn't have any of that. And all in all, it's a clean audit report. And obviously, we should be very pleased with having this done and noted for the record. So that's what I have for you. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Budraja. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Mia Khan. Thank you guys for putting this together, Steve. Very well done. Glad to see a clean report. Steve, on page 14, it might caught my eye regarding the organization receiving of cost reimbursable grants. Are we going to plug in a certain number there, or is it something that we are working on?
No, what that is basically is if you get money like as a grant and they say, hey, you have to, we're going to give you, let's say we're going to give you $10,000, but you have to spend it on this, this, and this. There's an amount that would be in that, in there. So there was nothing there. So it was left blank. And so,
okay, so we didn't get any of that grant, right?
So there's no money that was earmarked for something that we got that we didn't spend properly the way it should have been earmarked. So that's why that's there. And yeah, that's okay. A good question, because I asked the auditor the same thing. And so I'm glad you were able to point that out. And that's, it would be like if we got a grant for something and we were supposed to spend it on exactly what they told us and we didn't, there would be a number there, but you don't see anything. So that's why it's left blank.
Gotcha. All right. And the audit is basically annual audit is basically a snapshot at a given time, right, Steve? They just took a snapshot of it. Going forward, though, how do we look? We are halfway this year, and going forward, are we facing any issues that we should pay attention to, or are we on a pretty good track? What do you think?
I think we're on a good track. I think that what we're doing now is we're carefully evaluating the money that we're receiving and we're trying to develop plans to appropriately spend the money down that we get, specifically like if we get one-time money, to carefully allocate it. And we want to obviously achieve the goals of the board and of the organization, and to be able to make sure that our students are served, our staff are compensated. And so things are looking pretty good. The January proposal just came out this week from the governor, and we're looking at about a 5.3% cost of living adjustment. So that's obviously a positive moving into next year. And there may be some additional funds coming in, sort of one-time funds in nature, but those are obviously gonna help us for the second half of the year moving in from now until June 30th. And so we're actually looking really good. And I think that we have some great people on board as part of our team that can kind of help us carefully spend that money in a way that's appropriate, that serves the students and that really aligns with the goals of the organization. So I'm not seeing anything that would be cause for concern at this time.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for your question. We do have a finance committee right after, but is there any last minute questions or comments regarding this report? I don't know if I said finance committee. We have a facilities committee right after.
Is there audit facilities.
All right. Is there any final questions or comments? Perfect. If not, thank you so much, Steve, for this. The motion for this report, the motion is for the Finance Committee to recommend to the Board for approval of the annual independent audit report for the fiscal year 2020 through 21 of the consolidated audit covering all 10 schools and the home office. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Dr. Diklish. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Diklish?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. And that concludes all of our items for tonight's meeting. At this time, I ask Dr. Diklish if you may please adjourn. The time is 6:02 p.m.
Thanks for everyone for your attendance. I adjourn the meeting at 6:02 p.m. Have a good day.
Thank you, everyone. See you at the next meeting.
Thank you, everyone. Bye. Take care.